So let's turn to our study. Who needs a copy of our booklet? Misty? Anybody else? Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yes, you may. All right, so we've talked a little bit about the fact that when you come to the New Testament and you begin to delve into the teaching of who Jesus is, what He's done, you cannot adequately grasp and understand that without the foundation of the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament prepares us for the coming of Christ, and it teaches us a great deal. So we want to consider that. And we looked at a little bit of this last time. You remember your assignment from last week? Yes. Okay, so I signed for this morning the Old Testament portrait of Christ on page 4, and then also the first three prophecies on page 24. And this is just a section that has a number of prophecies of Jesus. And so we looked a little bit at the first one last time, the fact that the Messiah would be the seed of the woman. Okay? So Genesis chapter 3, put yourself into Genesis mode here. You've got chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And then chapter 2 kind of goes back through creation. You've got the 7 days. Everything that was made in 6 literal 24-hour days. And the seventh day God rested to give us a pattern for life, that we need a day of rest. We need a day to come apart from the world and the struggles of life. And so chapter 3, God had told Adam and Eve one thing: don't eat the fruit of this tree, because in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, the serpent came along, tempted Eve, and she took the fruit. She said, "Oh, it looks good. It smells good. It feels good." And the devil spoke to her through the serpent. Did God truly say? You know, God's always attacked, the devil has always attacked the Word of God. From the very first moment we see him in action, that's what he does. He attacks the Word of God. Don't be surprised at that. Don't be surprised when you open your newspaper and you see articles that attack the Word of God. Well, evolution and, you know, and millions of years and all this stuff. And it's overwhelming. And after a while, all these people, surely they must be right. You hear a lie often enough, and you begin to believe it's true. Well, what we need to grasp is that we can trust the Bible over what any scientist, any smart guy out there comes up with. And so Adam and Eve fell. They sinned, they disobeyed God, and they brought death to the human race. Now, they didn't drop dead instantly, but something inside of them died instantly. And then began this long battle that has been going on ever since. And but even in the beginning, God already knew what the answer was. God already knew what He was going to do. And He was going to send His Son. So we see that in Genesis 3:15, where God spoke to the serpent. And He just said... let's get it right here. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, her seed shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so, if you watched the, I don't necessarily recommend it, but if you watched The Passion of the Christ, the movie, you'll remember the opening scene is in the garden where Jesus is praying, and a serpent, a snake, comes slithering out, and Jesus stomps on its head. Okay, and it's physically, literally recreating this prophecy that was given. And of course, it wasn't a physical thing that Jesus did right then, you know, there, as much as a spiritual thing that when He died on the cross, He defeated Satan. Satan had gained power over people, but now that power is defeated. So I will put enmity and the seed of the woman. Well, who is the seed of the woman? We see the literal fulfillment of that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And I've already got my books out of order here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." When the fullness of the time, and the concept of the word time here in this word is that when the glass is full, you know, it builds and it grows, but it's not going to happen until the moment. You know, you get to that certain point and suddenly it begins to spill over. And that's the picture in the text here, is that when the time was full, when the time was complete, when everything was in place. And here's the other part of that that you can look forward to, is that when the time is complete, God will send His Son once more into this world. And people will scoff and they will say, "Oh, where's the promise of His coming?" and all those things. But folks, when the time is full, when the time is right, everything is completed, Jesus will come again. So here's the first prophecy of Christ, the first mention of Jesus. Although Jesus is present before this, turn with me to, and this is not in your notes here, but look in John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1. And verse 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so we understand that that is referring to Jesus. And we understand that because of verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So there is the neat part of this. Jesus has come. He's been made flesh. He became a man. But now go back to verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. He was God. Verse 2. "The same was in the beginning with God." Notice verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So when we see in Genesis chapter 1, we see God creating what the New Testament informs us and explains to us, it is that every act of creation came through Jesus. The Father was present, yes. The Spirit was hovering over the waters, it says in Genesis 1. But the Son is the one through whom everything has been made. So Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem or in, you know, when He was conceived in Mary's womb. He existed in eternity past because He's God in the flesh, come in the flesh now. And so all things were made by Him. Good morning. And without Him was nothing made that was made. So as we think then about what God has done is, well, Jesus is prophesied, but He's also present. You know, He's present before Genesis 3. That's the first mention that we have. But when you know and you understand that Jesus is the one, the agent of creation, He's the one through whom everything came into existence. All right. So, So any thoughts, questions on Genesis 3:15? We didn't look at all the scripture there. Okay, number two. Let me get some. This is our study, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at page 24 at the moment. All right, so number two is the Messiah would be the descendant of Abraham, through whom all nations would be blessed. So just very quickly, look at Genesis 12 and verse 3. And it says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Well, this is a word given to Abram, who became Abraham. This is a word given to Abram, a promise given to him. "I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That is, that through Abraham, through his descendants, through his line, there would come a blessing to all the peoples of the earth, including us. That includes the Branchites and the Coxvilleites and the Parasites. That doesn't quite sound right, does it? But it's to all the nations. And then notice the New Testament fulfillment of that is in Acts chapter 3, when we find this specifically stated, Acts chapter 3 and verse 24. And this is Peter's message after he had healed the man who was lame there in the temple area. Verse 24, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." And so here we have this truth. God told Abram, "I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through you. All the kindreds, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you." And sometimes people look at the Jewish people and they have resentment toward the Jewish people. Well, I'm going to tell you, we need to be grateful to the Jewish people. Our Savior was a Jew. The first Christians, all of them were Jews. And Jews are saved just like you and I. They are saved by putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. Go back again then into the Old Testament for one more glimpse of Jesus. You say, well, you know, some of these it's kind of hard to see because it's not spelled out. Yeah, that's one of the challenges. But what we find is that the New Testament throws light into the Old. And we learn what this Scripture means by comparing it with other Scripture. Okay, the greatest commentator on Scripture is Scripture. So when you want to know what a Scripture means, look at the references that study Bibles and different places, you'll find that have other Scriptures that relate to that Scripture. And you'll learn more that way. Okay, so turn back to Genesis 3 for just a moment. And let's look at one more aspect of the story here with Adam and Eve. Okay, Adam and Eve both sinned. God said, "I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, devil, and her seed is going to crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel." And that happened at the cross. And by the way, the only artifact of crucifixion that exists today, the only archaeological evidence for crucifixion that exists today, is a heel bone that was found in a tomb in Israel, and it is from the time period of Jesus, but that heel bone has a nail still through it. The man was crucified, and they drove a nail through his heel into the cross, and then whenever they took it out, it was so firmly fixed in that bone, they couldn't even remove the nails, so they just buried it with him. And they found that, and we saw copy of it, a casting of it in the museum in Jerusalem when we were there. They buried the actual bone in respect to the person, but they have castings of it and they've studied it and everything. Well, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. And that's what Jesus has done. But let's look at one further detail of this story of Adam and Eve in the garden. They have sinned, they've fallen, they disobeyed God. Now they are separated from God. Remember when Adam and Eve realized what they had done? Remember the first thing they did? They took up sewing. They found some fig leaves. And they said, we're in trouble because we are naked. And they were ashamed. They'd never been ashamed. They were naked before, but they'd never been ashamed. There was no shame in their nakedness. There was no sin in it. Now suddenly they realize they need to cover themselves. Here we have the biblical basis for clothing. Aren't you glad? Well, and so they covered themselves and then they went and hid. And God came walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where are you? Adam? Over here, Lord. From behind the tree. Adam, what are you doing? We were ashamed. We were naked and we hid from you. Who told you you were naked? Well, the serpent gave this woman you gave me. This woman you gave me, she took this fruit and ate it and gave it to me. And well, I ate some too. And so long story short, it says here that God's solution to cover their nakedness. Notice verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And I know this must be a nightmare verse for the PETA folks out there, but God took animals and he killed the animals. You don't take an animal's skin without killing it first, okay? That's just my observation, largely not by experience, okay? I've never tried that, but you don't skin an animal until you kill it. God killed these animals. What kind of animals? We don't know what kind of animals. Or animal. Could have been one if it was large enough. But he made a covering. He made a covering for their sinfulness. And so here's the other way in which we find Jesus in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus is called by John the Baptist, John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he became our covering. He covered all of our spiritual nakedness, our shame, our guilt, our fear, our sorrow, our pain, our sinfulness. He covered that with his own righteousness. He covered that with all that he is so that we could be right with God, so that we could know the Lord, so that one day we could go to heaven. So is Jesus found in the Old Testament? Yes. He was the willing sacrifice pictured by Isaac in Genesis 22. And he's the animal that God sacrificed there. And God established the precedent and the principle ongoing throughout time then, from then on, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Why did Jesus have to die on a cross for our sins? Why did he have to shed his blood? It's because there can be no forgiveness unless there is payment for sin. Sin has to be paid for. And we would like to think that God could just look at us and say, oh, well, you know, you're really mostly okay, you know, except for Cheryl and a few others. But, you know, you're okay. We'll just call it good. never mind. We'll just overlook the whole thing. And then what kind of God would God be? If God said, well, we'll just overlook it all. We'll just pretend it didn't happen. Well, God would be an accessory after the fact to all the times that little children have been abused and people have been murdered and people have been raped and people have been lied to and cheated and stolen from. God would be an accessory after the fact to every sin that had ever happened. And God is just and God is holy and God is righteous. And God said there has to be payment for sin. And so that's why His Son went to the cross. And He did it willingly. He did it with joy, the Bible says, because He knew the blessing that would come to all the families of the earth through it. Okay, any thoughts? All right, we really didn't get very far in what we were hoping to get through. Okay, if you have not looked at the Old Testament portrait of Christ, pages 4 and 5 and on to 6, do that this week, but then also move into Jesus in the Old Testament, part 1. Jesus in the Old Testament, part 1. All right, and we're going to begin reading here. And this is a message from Dr. Adrian Rogers. It's good stuff. I think you'll find some really good things here. So I encourage you to set some time apart this week. Make a note now. Part 1. Make a note for next week. August 20, we will be Jesus in the Old Testament, part 1, page 6. So, and then also on page 24, back on the prophecies and let's take the next three there. So 4 through 6, make a note of that also. 4 through 6 for August the 20th. And so, go back, look at the scriptures, read through it, think about it, consider it. Everybody with me? That's your assignment. We may have a pop quiz, so be ready. All right, thank you all.